Nice handy location for the airport. And I guess this will be your new home if you're not taking some bad poison. Here's your proof. You think these are just for people who are sick? Look at this. It's double fenced. Double. Inside and outside electrified. They're not mucking around. This is the new world. The new world order's taking over. Do you believe it now? Do you? This is Australia. Look, it's double fenced. What more do you want? Look, double fenced. You see that? That's a fence, then another fence there. For those of you who don't think that this is serious, here's your proof. Because this is Brisbane, Australia.
Two of the guys, one of them was talking into their palms in his headset.
Was he? Cool, no problem. This is going out to the world. If we disappear, you know what happened.
All right, we have concentration camps, possibly extermination camps, going up in our backyards. This is a very serious issue. They're using every excuse they can to justify building these camps up and sending people. The homeless population has been targeted for this, disallowed to actually just live on the streets, sent to these camps where who knows what happens. I think I might have a hunch. And now we're seeing more and more camps go up for things like disease, wildfires, flooding, these location-specific emergencies. But I'm very concerned about who's running the show here and what their intentions are. We know that they don't want the human population to grow and to blossom. That's what they mean when they say sustainable development. Basically, nobody should develop because then we'll have population growth. So the housing crisis was engineered. I've been doing a deep dive the last few days into the homeless housing and the emergency housing. And there's some extremely concerning threads here that I want to bring to your attention. All right, there's a very concerning trend when it comes to the homeless housing. And it ties in very closely with this other trend, emergency housing or crisis housing. Now, looking at the players involved and how much they support these initiatives, I think big alarm bells should be going off. So there's a very concerning dynamic here. We have homeless housing, emergency housing, and COVID concentration camps. And the lines between the three are starting to blur, and they're all becoming the same thing. So I think this is about the government acquiring new powers and using them to geographically send a bunch of people into camps. And then, of course, once they're under lock and key, there's any number of things the government can do to attack them. So if there's a crisis in a region, which we're being told is going to happen more and more and more, which makes you wonder if they have the capacity to manufacture these, then the whole affected region could be subjected to these types of camps. But in this video, I want to talk about those dreaded concentration camps they built, those quarantine camps for COVID. Well, look at this. Surprise, surprise. People are calling to turn those into homeless camps. Let's ship them off to the concentration camps. Recently, they announced that they're going to make the COVID camps in Australia homeless camps, or that's what they're signaling. Now, this is very concerning given that we heard that they installed lines to gas people with. Let's play the clip of the whistleblower Trady.
Just want to quickly show you guys something, Mark. All right, I'm going to show you these things, ready? These are the quarantine buildings. And these are the each rooms. Now, see these wires? This is a window. Why do you think they got the wire in the window? It hooks up because they've got a massive roller shutter that keeps you in. This electronic door, which will make it lock, turn the air conditioner off or on. There's that much gadgets, these buildings, what is it, 900,000 each building. And it's little prisons, size of little remand buildings. But this is the thing, for all these buildings is connected a gas pipe that is connected to nothing. Right here. The rest of the building, the air conditioning, the hot water, electrical and that. What's this one here? Hit through the wall. goes through. That's going to come through the ventilating. Right. Well, they're going to gas this in these. Show you one that's starting to get sheeted. And the only weak point is underneath this window. You have to smash through the wall and get through the tin.
But back to my point, what concerns me is there's this new cookie-cutter template being set up whereby people in emergencies, which are events which could be man-made, targeting a certain region, there's an emergency. Then they set these camps up and they move everybody into these camps. We also saw them build these camps for COVID, right? They're looking for any excuse to build these camps. And then they also use them for the homeless people. And they say, oh, we'll keep these camps here for the homeless people. What if they're doing sterilization campaigns? Or extermination campaigns? Or they want to get these concentration camps up in our backyard with as few objections as possible? Or better, no objections. People clamoring for the final solution. So I want to end this video, but not this train of thought because I need to cover a lot more on this topic. But I want to end this video showing you a very concerning new trend in the past few months where they're using these quarantine concentration camps with like razor wire and very, very scary looking quarantine camps. And they want to put the homeless populations into these camps. And they're also talking about, oh, if there's wildfires, we can use these camps to house the homeless and the displaced. And they keep telling us there's going to be more and more of these big fires and that it's climate change. And all the big tech people just got together about how to address misinformation about Maui. I think we should start to be able to see where this is going. So here's a hot mic inside one of these quarantine hotels where a concentration camp guard is caught threatening a man with being gassed if he didn't calm down. This man had been trapped in a concentration camp for 2 weeks and was being told he had to stay longer. And the guard told him, calm down or you're going to get effing gassed.
So it sounds like they want this guy to stay here longer, which is concerning for me because he's stayed here for 14 days.
Mate, you've got to calm down or you're going to get
fucking out. Mate, you've got to take me somewhere fucking else.
Calm down or you're going to get fucking gassed.
Fucking do it then.
All right.
This is outrageous. So why are we seeing all of these things interconnected? As we know, the United Nations doesn't want the human population to grow. They're so evil. And that's what they mean by sustainable development. Oh, we can't just make a lot of housing. That's not sustainable. Because then people would reproduce, and we'd have to make even more housing. And then we'd have to make more housing. I think that's what they're talking about when they say sustainable development. They want everybody working, and they don't want people living on the streets. And you'll oftentimes hear them slip up and say, we need to combat the homeless. They say we need to end homelessness. So very suspiciously and conspicuously, the governments around the world are setting up these strange camps for homeless people, which I'm not convinced are not or will not be turned into extermination camps, where certain groups are targeted for extermination, where certain groups are killed. We've seen this before. Terrible, terrible policies. We've seen this before. They used to sterilize homeless people. For example, in California. I think California had the most sterilizations of any state. And now they're saying we want to end homelessness. And they're setting up these little camps. And in Maui, we're seeing this very strange combination where they say they're fighting two different issues. Oh, we're fighting homelessness. This has been an issue for decades. Or are they fighting the homeless? But that aside. And now they're saying they have to deal with the fire. So FEMA's actually going to give them $1 billion. And that can help them also with killing two birds with one stone. The homeless problem and the displaced people from Lahaina. And I've been paying very close attention to what they've said so far. So take, for example, in Maui, where Josh Green announced he'd take $1 billion from FEMA and build a bunch of this emergency housing. So it allows them to drive people into these camps geographically to have one of these fires, or economically, based on who refuses to continue to work. In the Australian quarantine camps, we have two different reports. One was a hot mic. One was a whistleblower in the construction of these quarantine camp sheds. And they both had to deal with gassing of inmates. In the second clip, we have another man in Australia. This man was constructing the quarantine sheds. And he describes an anomalous extra gas line that feeds in through the AC system. And he asks, are they going to gas us in here? A strange connection that I keep seeing is this connection between the homeless population and emergency response. So remember what Julian Huxley said about the homeless. Huxley believed that those who couldn't compete in the labor market or chose not to work should be refused hospital treatment so they can't reproduce. And he said they should be sterilized. And he said birth control methods should be taught to them. The lowest strata are reproducing relatively too fast. Therefore, birth control methods must be taught to them. Long unemployment should be a ground for sterilization. So that explains the homeless population. These people are targeted. And many of them rightfully don't want to go into these camps. But the government comes along and breaks up their encampments and says, you're not allowed to sleep here. There's a camp you can go to. Now, what's happening at these camps? I'm extremely concerned about this. We had a report after Hurricane Harvey. A homeless man was out in the streets. And a news reporter comes up and asks him, why are you out here? And he says, there's a homeless shelter and the Salvation Army were caught killing everybody.
I'm going to sit down here with Jake, who's got his dog, Bubba. Jake, who is homeless. Jake, you've found yourself some shelter here. Why are you outside during this entire hurricane?
Well, I chose not to go inside yesterday because the Salvation Army and Russian Winds homeless shelter where they were accepting people were caught killing everybody that was in there.
And that seems plausible to me. And interestingly, the Salvation Army is involved in California with these new homeless camps they're putting up and telling people you can't sleep on the street because we have these new camps for you to go to.
Pallet actually has a requirement for our customers, which are often cities, counties, states, sometimes direct service providers. But we have a requirement that in homelessness, when it's used for homelessness response, that the customer show proof that they have contracted with a service provider. That is really the magic of how the rehabilitation happens in these sites, right? The shelter is one thing. It encourages someone to come inside. But the service engagement is what really changes a person's life and helps them move on. So we are super honored to partner with great service provider partners like Hope of the Valley, who operates here, Salvation Army, and many others across the country who are really engaging with people and providing those targeted services that are needed to help them change their trajectory in life.
But in this video, I want to talk about those dreaded concentration camps they built, those quarantine camps for COVID. Well, look at this. Surprise, surprise. People are calling to turn those into homeless camps. And look who else is involved, the Salvation Army.
Ms. Palaszczuk has highlighted the option for those in need of emergency housing to use WellCamp quarantine facility near Toowoomba. The 1,000-bed complex sits mostly empty.
We are looking at all of those issues, but people sometimes don't want to move from their communities.
A housing lifeline is one step closer tonight for desperate Queenslanders in need of a home. Brisbane City Council saying it will stump up $1 million to help open the Pinkenba quarantine facility as emergency accommodation.
The Brisbane Mayor's now putting money on the table to help ready the Pinkenba quarantine facility for people who've been living rough.
Brisbane City Council will contribute $1 million in the next budget as a contribution to help get this facility up and running.
The state now starting to lean in.
Obviously it is a federally owned facility. Of course we want to explore all options.
The Queensland Government has pledged $10 million to help turn the Pinkenba quarantine facility into emergency accommodation.
Tim Avia joins us now in the studio. Tim, is the transformation now going to go ahead?
Well, Andrew, there's still one big problem here, and that is there is no one who is yet putting their hand up to run Pinkenba as a housing crisis accommodation centre. And the state government is now writing to the federal government,
who owns the site, offering $10 million in funding for the project. The big question now is, will this be enough for someone to come in and set up the centre?
Queenslanders overwhelmingly support using the idle Pinkenba quarantine facility as emergency housing for hundreds of homeless people. Until now, the state government has refused. But following a Seven News campaign, we can exclusively reveal the Premier is finally acting.
Housing is a much bigger concern than just for state government. It involves all levels of government.
And local charities and housing support groups. Today, the Salvation Army revealed it too is working to get the facility up and running.
We're involved in the discussions, and it will be really interesting to see what comes out of that.
The state government has previously ruled out Pinkenba, saying it would rather buy its own housing stock than pay rent to Canberra because it would cost too much. But the Federal Treasurer says he's willing to help make it happen.
I can reveal there have been negotiations that have been happening, and we'll have more to say about this in the coming weeks.
So today is a significant development that brings an emergency housing solution one step closer.
Here is Anastasia Palavschuk 2 months ago at the Queensland Holocaust Museum telling us her concentration camps were to keep people safe.
And all we were trying to do is keep people safe.
The Lord Mayor's push to turn the Pinkenba quarantine facility into emergency housing for up to 500 homeless people is gaining traction. Local support services say they believe the site is viable, but need all levels of government to help make it happen.
The Lord Mayor ramping up calls to open the 500-bed centre to the southeast's homeless.
It's been paid for by taxpayers. It's ready to go in a really short period of time, and that should be used.
The federal government says it's open to the facility being used by the state government for crisis accommodation. The housing department says it's up to council and local support services to get it up and running.
We've seen the site and we think it's workable. But a lot of work needs to be done.
St Vincent de Paul Society says it's willing to work with other local organisations to make it happen, but the centre needs to be modified to suit the community.
We can't really cost that, so government needs to cost that. We've got to know what the budget parameters are to be able to be realistic.
With winter fast approaching, the Lord Mayor says this facility needs to be opened urgently. He says if everyone works together, it could happen within a matter of weeks.
We've already said that we'll provide transport services.
This should be extremely suspicious to anybody who's researched the history of eugenics. Go look up how many sterilizations California performed. 20,000. And who knows what the real number is. In the asylums and the hospitals. I mean, there's so much to go into here. They make people take treatment and see a doctor. And they love talking about mental health, which just opens the door for so many psychiatric drugs, possibly that sterilize people, being given. But back to my point, what concerns me is there's this new cookie-cutter template being set up whereby people in emergencies, which are events which could be man-made, targeting a certain region, there's an emergency. Then they set these camps up and they move everybody into these camps. We also saw them build these camps for COVID. Right? They're looking for any excuse to build these camps. And then they also use them for the homeless people. And they say, oh, we'll keep these camps here for the homeless people. What if they're doing sterilization campaigns? Or extermination campaigns? Or they want to get these concentration camps up in our backyard with as few objections as possible? Or better, no objections. People clamoring for the final solution. So I want to end this video, but not this train of thought, because I need to cover a lot more on this topic. But I want to end this video showing you a very concerning new trend in the past few months, where they're using these quarantine concentration camps with like razor wire and very, very scary looking quarantine camps. And they want to put the homeless populations into these camps. And they're also talking about, oh, if there's wildfires, we can use these camps to house the homeless and the displaced. And they keep telling us there's going to be more and more of these big fires and that it's climate change. And all the big tech people just got together about how to address misinformation about Maui. I think we should start to be able to see where this is going. But that's right, they're turning the quarantine concentration camps into homeless and emergency housing. And they're always able to bring back more pandemics, right? Come up with more excuses to put people under lock and key. And these facilities were built to be under lock and key.
What about your hotel quarantine facility that you announced that will be built, I think, what, in the middle of next year? Do you still need that?
I think regional quarantine facilities are going to be needed into the future. We can't predict what's going to happen, but there may be a country that's declared a red spot or a no-go zone area, and we may need to bring back people from those different countries, and they'll need to be charted in. It's no different to what we saw, what we have seen during this pandemic. We'll also need it for unvaccinated people. We'll also need it for people who are international students who are looking at doing labour for our farmers. So I think there's a whole lot of opportunities as well.
They're erecting concentration camps in our backyards and getting people to clamor for it. I think they might be extermination camps.
Some of the people that were going to the FEMA fusion centers were not to be heard or seen from again.
So when were you told a fatality happened? Because the man that was the homeless man that we are told that just died, we've just seen the police take him away to the hospital. I'm filming this now. The police were just, you're in a communal area, my building, and you're lying to us, spreading fear, telling us that this man died, and he's just been down there and saw that he is not dead. He has just been taken to the hospital by the police. He spoke to both the police and the homeless man. That man was a bit drunk. He asked him if he was okay, and he was fine. This was 5 to 10 minutes ago, and now you're coming up here spreading lies and fear and telling me this man is dead, and he is not dead. This man is not dead. Take them letters, take them somewhere else, because that man is not dead. I've been feeding that man.
Wait.
We can't stop when there's no,
because he's not dead.
Until you find out if this man's really dead and prove that, then you need to stop putting these letters under there.
Can I ask you to stop filming?
Can I ask your name?
I'm from One Housing.
You're from One Housing. Can I ask your name? When they put a letter under your door saying the man's dead, he's not dead, he's fine. The man is absolutely fine. The man's fine. He's putting letters under our door saying the man's dead. The man's not dead. He just saw him 5 minutes ago being taken by the police. Now, these are coming here in their little suits telling us this man's dead, and this man is not dead. We have just seen the police take him to the hospital 5 minutes ago. You are liars. You are spreading fear for no reason. No one died in this building today. Nobody died.
Can you let us respond?
Yeah, I have let you respond, and you've stood there and lied. You have?
Can you stop filming?
Okay, no. You're in my building, outside my door, causing fear amongst my community. Okay, go on. So show me who died. Okay. It's legal. I'm illegally allowed to.
Please speak.
Go for it. Go on. I did.
No, you didn't. Can you stop filming as well?
No, go on.
Right, in that case.
No, I can film. Go on. I'd like the answer. What time did you get this report? Can I just ask?
About a couple of hours ago.
A couple of hours ago, but we've literally saw this man taken away 10 minutes ago, healthy.
Well, that's fine. Now that you've told us that, we'll go on.
Can I ask who gave you the report that this man was dead?
It's fed from One Housing.
So. From One Housing. One Housing told you that this man was dead, so you came round in your suits to spread fear. Look at them children in there, and you're